الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم اخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا من خزائن علومك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. My brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya ibn Shabib, in kunta bakiyan li shay, fabki li Hussein. In this narration, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam says to his companion that if you find yourself in pain and you begin to cry about anything, in that moment, remember Abu Abdullah alayhi salam and cry for Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. The tears for Imam Hussein are sacred and eternal. That's why I figured my style of lectures, instead of me talking at you, I love to talk with you in a conversational tone. That's why yesterday I began the lecture by telling you about how I felt. Because we were speaking about ilm huduri these last few nights, knowledge by presence, inner knowledge, not knowledge that it's given to us, but inner knowledge. And so the knowledge that I have of my hunger, or the knowledge that I have of my fear, or my love, is not knowledge that anyone tells me about. It's knowledge that I experience, and it's within me. I know it's there. It's not like any type of knowledge that you're telling me from the outside. I can express myself to you about my pain. You will never understand my pain. You might relate and empathize, but it's my pain. And you have your pain. But we try to empathize with each other. But ultimately, your experience is what you go through. Yesterday, I told you that I had experienced the energy around all of you because of, inshallah, your love of Ahlul Bayt. I felt the presence of love and deen and brotherhood and family. And it was a very emotional state that I was experiencing. And today, I feel pain today. Today, I don't feel so well in my experience. The knowledge I have of my own presence right now is pain. And the reason is, last night, my daughter in Lebanon was hospitalized, and I'm not there. And my wife is alone with my daughter, my two-year-old daughter. And I called her on video call, I stayed up with her all night, and she would say Baba in a very weak tone when I would talk to her, and then she couldn't respond anymore. And she was on the IV, and you know, a tiny baby, she can't do anything. Now, as a father, all you want to do is you want to be there with your child. And so you feel so much pain. So the whole day I felt like my heart is getting ripped out of my chest. But you know what hurts more? I'm going to see my daughter again, inshallah. She's going to be fine. Inshallah, she's going to be fine. But I couldn't help but imagine how it must have felt for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When he's holding his baby and his baby's crying, and instead of water, it tasted only blood, and received an arrow to the neck. What did this father feel when his daughter was crying and he couldn't help her, and he knew he won't see her again? And when they pierced the neck of Ali al-Asghar alayhi salam, and the blood of his baby was in his arms, blood into the sky, and he said, Ya Allah, I am patient because you're watching me. As-salamu alayki ya Abu Abdullah. صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Imam Ali alayhi salam takes Kumail and he told Kumail secret after secret. And always his secrets were about pursuing knowledge. These last few nights we were speaking about knowledge. And that true knowledge is not in the amount of strenuous study that we engage in. But Imam al-Sadiq says, it is nur from Allah. يَقْدِفُهُ اللَّهُ فِي قَلْبْ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah sends this knowledge into the heart of whom He wills. It is light. This knowledge is through tawfiq. One must go through prerequisites in order to attain this knowledge. This knowledge that ultimately is ma'rifatullah. And that أَوَّلُ الدِّينِ ma'rifatullah. The beginning of religion is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we live our lives and we have a very small amount of time on this earth. And we want to make sure that when we meet Allah, that moment when we finally meet Him, we have that sound and pure heart. That heart by which we want to meet Allah. As He said, قَلْبْ سَلِيمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمْ. To meet Allah with that sound heart, pure of blemishes. One that is ready to receive knowledge of light. We want that knowledge. Constantly, Imam Ali alayhi salam would give Kumail these secrets on how to pursue such knowledge, real knowledge. And finally, to know Allah truly by presence, not simply through the abstract concepts that we read about, that we talk about, that we listen in a lecture about, but to really experience that ma'rifah in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within. Not without, like when Imam Sadiq says to Anwar al-Basri, فَطْلُبْ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Then you must seek within yourself haqiqatul ubudiyyah, the true reality of worship and devotion. So this knowledge that we want is not information. We want to pursue knowledge. There is such an emphasis on pursuing knowledge, but that doesn't mean how many books we read. And that's why I want to speak about this topic, this Muharram, and I was building up towards this understanding every night, that we want knowledge. Like in Ziyarat al-Jami' al-Kabira, this Ziyarah, by the way, this Ziyarah, you must make it your best friend. This Ziyarah, if you can live with this Ziyarah to the last moment, this Ziyarah is full of secrets about Ahlul Bayt. And in the ziyarah, we say to the Ahlul Bayt, بِوِلَايَتِكُمْ عَلَّمَنَ اللَّهُ مَعَالِمَ دِينِنَا. That through your wilaya, ya Ahlul Bayt, Allah has taught us the ma'alim of our deen. Yeah, there are secrets that, what do you mean through wilaya I learned? This is different than the usual understanding when the Imams and the Ahlul Bayt keep speaking about knowledge. Don't you think that it might be going to hawza or reading books? Not necessarily. You might have someone who has all the information in the world, but they are very far away from real ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want this knowledge. We want to understand these secrets. We want to understand what these sentences and these words mean. In Ziyarah al-Jami'ah, in the secrets that Imam Ali keeps giving to Kumail, when he tells Kumail, there is so much in my chest, I'm trying to pass it on to you. When he tells Kumail and he tells the companions, العلم خير من المال. You are constantly chasing wealth, but علم, knowledge, is greater than wealth. العلم يحرسك وأنت تحرس المال. That knowledge is protecting you and you're protecting wealth. But which type of knowledge is protecting you? The question is it all type of knowledge? Or is there a specific type of knowledge that the Imam keeps speaking about? Because he says to Kumail, in another instance, Ya Kumail, Ma min harakatin illa wa anta muhtajun fiha ila al-ma'rifah. There are so many secrets in this sentence. He says to him, Ya Kumail, there is no movement that you can make. Nothing that you can do. Ma min haraka. Nothing you can do. Illa wa anta muhtajun fiha ila al-ma'rifah. Except that you are completely needy for knowledge. In every movement you make, he's saying ultimately, nothing you do counts unless it is infused with knowledge. And that for you to move from A to B, the condition of movement is knowledge. So what does he mean? A lot of the time we read these words, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, we say Subhanallah and we move on, as if it was another quote from Martin Luther King or another quote from anyone else. But this is a secret from the Ma'soom Hujjah of Allah. There are secrets in every word he says. We must contemplate upon these secrets. It's a walking Quran. So I want to know what he means to contemplate over these words, to not be like the angels when they are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you going to create Adam and this creature, these human beings, they're going to create bloodshed? And Allah says to them, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Say, لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَمْتَنَا. They don't know. They just move to the side. They don't know. They move to the side. We want to know. We want to understand. And there is a prerequisite, of course. In order to have tawfiq, in which Allah sends this light into the heart of a human being, this light, this knowledge, that العلم ليس بكثرة التعلم بل هو نور من الله يطفى في قلب من يشاء. That knowledge is not in the books you read, but it is light from Allah sent into the heart of whom Allah wills. There is a condition to this, which is to engage in actual study. That we must not understand all these hadiths and what I'm saying as move away from books and move away from study. That's a prerequisite though. It's not the aim. It's not the ends. This is the first step. And it has to be done with a very pure intention. And to be a seeker of knowledge means you go towards this with your whole being. We cannot be stagnant. When I go around the world, I go to the community. Usually I'm with the leader or an organizer within the community who is, alhamdulillah, spending all his time trying to gather the people in the mosque. So they are people, usually these leaders and organizers, like our brother Hadi Shami over here, sacrificing everything. Inshallah, his wife doesn't leave him after these 2 weeks. God bless you. He's just always in the mosque, always working, always with the people. These brothers, usually around the world, they're the brothers that are trying to give back because they gained a lot when they were younger. But something common amongst them is they reach a certain point where they were very inspired and they gained knowledge. Someone affected them when they were younger. They sought knowledge and then they reach a point where they remain there for a very long time. They reached a point, they were inspired, they started to work for the community, but then all the programs are always for the youth. All the programs for the camps, for the youngers, for this group, for that group. And when I ask them, what do you do for yourself? You are a 40-year-old man, 45-year-old man. Have you had any programs that you've been to recently in which you felt that feeling that you had when you were 25, when you were 30, when you were 20? And usually the answer amongst all my friends is, I feel like I've been in the same place for many, many years. I'm pretty much hearing the same content from the lectures. And there isn't really a lot that moves me anymore. And so you remain stagnant. But there are many more levels for you to climb. Maybe the standard of the shuyukh is limited. You must find shuyukh with greater knowledge. Maybe you need to go to ziyarah to seek some spiritual guidance. Maybe there must be something that must be done so you don't remain in the same place, stagnant. Not to forget about yourself, that khidmah and amal and serving is one of the greatest actions that you can do in the community. But what about your own spiritual journey and journey of knowledge with Allah? Don't think you reached the pinnacle. Alhamdulillah, I'm not talking about Hadi. Hadi is inshallah still growing. But Habibi. But that we cannot accept to remain stagnant. Imam Ali is saying you can still move. مَا مَنْ حَرَكَ إِلَّا وَأَنْتَ مُحْتَاجًا فِي إِلَى الْمَعْرِفَةِ. Need to move more. Need to continue moving. And the movement is unlimited because Allah is unlimited. There is never a time you can say, I made it. that's sad, but also amazing. It's sad because it can never end, and you can never say, you know, it's finished, but it's amazing because for every level you achieve, there's a level higher. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you as much as you can take. But if you take only this cup to the ocean, don't complain that you only got this much water. The ocean is vast. The ocean will give you as much as you want to bring. Imam Ali says, كُلُّ وِعَاءٍ يَضِيكُ بِمَا جُعِلَ فِيهِ. Every bottle, every container, when you fill it up with something, it becomes full. This cup is a wi'a. If I put water into it, it becomes full. He's saying every bottle, every container, you put anything, it becomes full. كُلُّ وِعَاء يَضِيكُ بِمَا جُعِلَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الْعِلْمِ. Except knowledge. Except the container of knowledge. The container of knowledge is you and I. He said, كُلُّ وِعَاء يَضِيقُ بِمَا جُعِلَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الْعِلْمِ إِنَّهُ يَتَّسِعُ. That it actually expands. You expand. Knowledge expands you. Don't think knowledge is information that I can debate with. Knowledge expands your existence. That's why Nabi Musa alayhi salam, he says, رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Not زِدْ عِلْمِي. زِدْ عِلْمِي, increase my knowledge. Said زِدْنِي, increase me. Al-ilma, in knowledge. Difference. He wants to be expanded through the knowledge, the light that's into the heart. This light in the heart first must be sound, and you must set upon your way through, yes, in the beginning, textual knowledge, by engaging in ma'rifah of Quran and hadith and Ahlul Bayt, and then knowledge of the world and the context and time and place, that you are engaging your intellect in seeking knowledge. So now you're studying. That means step by step, because I don't want to talk in the clouds. I want to give you practical advice about how we're going to do this, because I'm one of you. I'm one of you. I was born and raised in London, UK. At 20 years old, I couldn't read and write Arabic. I'm one of you. And I'm on the path of, inshallah, knowledge like you. So we all want this advice. I used to ask my teachers, okay, but tell me how? And tomorrow, what do I do tomorrow? What do I do after tomorrow? So I want to tell you in these few nights, practical steps. How? So tomorrow you apply. After tomorrow you apply techniques in order to move forward. The first thing you have to do is make your intention to be a knowledge seeker and start to consume real knowledge. In the Quran, Allah says, فَلْيَنْظُرْ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَى طَعَامِهِ. That insan must look towards his food, where it comes from. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, ta'am here means ilm. You must look towards where your knowledge comes from. So, the first thing you do is set your compass correctly. Who are your guides? Who are your teachers? You must have a teacher, either online or in person. But don't think anyone that comes wearing this is your teacher. This doesn't mean anything. Maybe we respect this just because of what it represents, but it doesn't mean that people have knowledge. These days, people look around everywhere, they put the imamah on themselves, and you cannot ask for a CV, you cannot ask for the qualifications. What did you get in your exam, Maulana? But we are in a time of charlatans. And wallahi, I say it, charlatans everywhere. So you must be aware. Don't think just because someone came up on Instagram and he has hundreds and thousands of followers and he has a turban, that means he knows what he's talking about. This is not the case. Know who you bring to your centers. Know who sits on this member. Know who his teachers are and where he comes from. Ask about it in a respectful way. Ask the center. We don't want to offend sheikhs. Ask about me. Who? Where this guy come from? Ask about me. How long has he studied? You should ask about me. Don't think it's because I can give an entertaining lecture that this is real knowledge. No, it's not in entertainment. We must know who our teachers are. You must know what path they're following. You must know. This is extremely important, my brothers and sisters, extremely. Because we're in a time of entertainment and popularity and social media. And so we don't know. You must ask. Don't give yourself, don't give your mind and your heart and your children's minds and hearts to absolutely anyone. You must confirm this person. Do they practice what they preach? this person? How long have they studied? And what did they study? And under who? And then you decide if you wish to give yourself and your family to this person. To look towards where your food, your nutrition, your ilm is coming from. And then you make your intention. You find some teachers, whether online or otherwise, and you begin to study. Choose some subjects that you begin to study, whether it is ulum Qur'an, Qur'anic studies, very important for you to understand the Qur'an, to know about the Qur'an, the different concepts that relate to the Qur'an. This is a very important topic. To study the heritage of Tashayyur, to know about our books, to know about Shaykh al-Kulayni and Kitab al-Kafi and the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt and what they say, to be close to the words of the Ahlul Bayt. Ultimately, in my opinion, the first thing that we should do is learn Arabic so that you can read Quran and you can understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the key to knowledge. Language is the key to knowledge. In the slave trade, if there was a slave that could read and write, that was a dangerous slave. They would off that slave very quickly because he was the one of knowledge. He could read and then he was able to expand his knowledge and gather the people. Usually that person is very influential. You look at Malcolm X, he goes into the prison. He was known as Satan, they used to call him in the streets. 7 years, he seeks knowledge in prison. He comes out. And he reads all these different books. The first thing he did was know how to read and write. He used to copy the dictionary from front to back. He increased his vocabulary and he would write and write and write. Then he became very eloquent and he started thinking very logically and he was able to speak to anyone and debate anyone. And he was someone very presentable and became a leader and gathered people around him because knowledge attracts. Because Allah, who he's the knowledgeable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-alim. And in your fitrah, you love ilm. And you go towards ilm and al-alim. There is something very special about beauty, knowledge, life, and power because they belong to Allah. So we go towards people who represent these attributes. Knowledge, in this way, you begin to study. So commit to studying Arabic first. And then choose a subject that you like. History, Quran, whatever it is, choose a subject and begin to engage in that. And then give yourself time every day. It also doesn't have to be always religious, but read 10 pages a day. 10 pages a day. You can't say there's no time. That's in 10 days, 100 pages. In 1 month, that's 300 pages. That's a whole book. You'd finish 12 books that year just by reading 10 pages a day. The idea is you become a diligent knowledge seeker. You're not here just going with the flow. And then in Muharram, you go, you sit down in the lecture and you listen. And that's it. That's not the point of this. We want to be knowledge seekers. Each and every single one of us, doesn't matter who you are all talaba. All of you must be talab ilm. All of you. Hawza or no hawza, you must be talib ilm. You want knowledge. You want to understand the secrets. Doesn't matter who you are. Old, young, boy, girl, mother, sick, whatever it is, whatever your situation, you must commit yourself to knowledge, to learning. In learning with a sincere heart that you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to seem like you are someone who is very smart and that you can debate, but someone who is learning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will see and experience futuhat. In the way your mind operates, in the way your heart opens, you will reach limits you never knew, horizons you never saw within yourself. You start to experience the light, but not from information, because of your intention and sincerity in seeking this knowledge. You start to go through this experience. So then you must decide your techniques, your subjects, and then give yourself some time every single day. I said 10 pages, that's not a lot of reading, that's just reading. But to study is more than reading. To study is listen, you sit down, you engage in intellectual conversation, you write notes. If you really want to do this properly, then every single day you must commit 3 hours to seeking knowledge in this way. If you can't do 3 hours, you do 2 hours. If you can't do 2 hours, do 1 hour. If you can't do 1 hour, half an hour a day. Just half an hour a day. I know no one's going to do 3 hours. Why? I started there so that you can feel like, okay, I'll do half an hour. If you want to go to Allah like a rocket, 3 hours. If you want to go like a turtle, half an hour, but at least you're going. But I started at the top, you know, if I want to sell a car. Half an hour a day, man.
seek knowledge for half an hour a day. That's not too difficult, is it? But the difference between half an hour a day and going with the flow is half an hour a day is intentional. You are intentional about being a knowledge seeker, and wallah, that makes all the difference. Because then you sit and you actually try to figure things out. You look at yourself differently. When someone speaks about difficult concepts, when you look at yourself as a knowledge seeker, you don't say, khalas, I don't want to know about this. You actually sit and you try to understand, and you go home and you contemplate. Our teachers raised us in a way that we become obsessed with pieces of information that we can't help but know. I remember when I first started in the Hawza, when I was 21 years old, I went into the Hawza and my teacher, he gave me a contract. He said, you're living in Hawza now. This room, we gave you a room. I don't pay rent. This room belongs to Imam Mahdi, because we paid for it with the khums money of the believers. So this room you're living in is Imam Mahdi's room. So you're sleeping in Imam Mahdi's room. And the food you eat is Imam Mahdi's food. So your meat, the meat, your flesh and bones are being nourished by Amwal al-Muslimin that belongs to Imam Mahdi. And we don't want anything from you. Don't pay for anything. All I want from you is to study, but you have a contract between you and Imam Mahdi. I can't watch you all the time. So if you want to live in his house and eat from his food, you have to promise him, sign on the dotted line, that you will study 11 hours a day. And he made us all sign 11 hours a day. We all had to sign it. If you want to study with my teacher, 11 hours a day is minimum. He said, what do you have? You're not married, don't have work, study. So we did. Wallah, some days, if I did 9 hours, I felt guilty. I said, Sheikh, I only did 9. He said, you have to qada tomorrow, 2 hours extra. You have 13 hours tomorrow. It was very hardcore, very strict. Because there's a responsibility, he said, you have to become a scholar to go outside and speak knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. This is not playing around. So we had to sign the contract. He took it very seriously. Wallah, it became easy. We used to pray Fajr and begin to study from 6 a.m. By the time it is Dhuhr time, 6 hours already gone. Then we pray, we eat, I rest a little bit, it's 2 o'clock. We did another 2 hours, that's 8 hours. I go to the gym, come back, it's 6 o'clock. 3 more hours, it's 9 p.m. Then see the brothers, 10 p.m., go sleep, go wake up, same. Sometimes 13, 14, 15 hours, it was normal. That's why our scholars, yes, those are not exaggerated stories. Our scholars, this is a light study compared to our scholars. I see my teachers, they don't sleep. Wallah, they don't sleep. I wish I didn't have to say this, but the hardest thing for me to do is to go ziyarah with my teacher. It's the hardest thing because I never sleep. Because he only sleeps in 1 hour pockets throughout the day when he gets tired. So there's no set time to sleep. We're either studying or worshipping or serving orphans or something. There's no, he just sleeps. Now we're tired, we sleep, we'll nap. There's no sleep, there's just naps. Throughout 24 hours, there's only naps. It's very difficult. But I act like I can do it with him just for those few days, and then I go back and I go back to my sleeping routine. These men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're real. Wallah, they're real. I've seen them. They're not on social media. They're not known in the world. They're not celebrities. They're celebrities in heaven. They're not known on the earth, as the narration tells us, Qiyam Sadiq alayhi salam. They're known in the heavens by people of Allah. They're known in the heavens. These people are known. I know these people. They're my teachers. They are real. They are real people like that. Then why do I accept for myself? Because I'm living somewhere where it's very hard for me to see mu'minin and iman around me. Then I accept mediocrity. And I say, I can remain stagnant. And I say, khalas, I'll do 10 nights in Muharram and 30 maybe in Shahr Ramadan. And that's my knowledge seeking of my life. And then you come back and then you listen to why Muawiyah had the treaty with Imam Hassan again. The lecture that you've heard 20 million times. No. You can't rely only on these lectures. This is just the beginning. This is a spark. This is supposed to be setting you on your way. You must go and engage and study and seek knowledge. And there are ways to do that now. Everything is available online. There are no excuses to remain stagnant. There are no excuses to remain stagnant when it comes to the seeking of knowledge. However, there is a weakness when it comes to seeking knowledge, a great weakness. And that is, just because we have knowledge does not mean that we apply it. And that type of knowledge does not benefit anyone. In fact, that can be one of the greatest curses. And this is the double-edged sword of being talib ilm. Because knowledge, by the words of Imam Khomeini, can be al-hijab al-akbar, he says. It can be the greatest hijab between you and Allah. So here, I'm telling you, knowledge, and I say hijab, when it's insincere. If it is insincere, then this becomes a problem. Then you become someone that seems very smart. And you can run intellectual laps around people all the time. But it's not for Allah. Then light will never enter into your heart. It has to be for Allah. That is the condition. On the outside, I'm studying, you're studying. But I might not be sincere and you are. We can recite the same words and we know the same material. But your knowledge is infused with light because of your sincerity. And that opens horizons and ma'rifah inside you. Whereas here, with this insincerity, I am serving only myself. And in the report of the Ahlul Bayt, it says such a person will go into the deepest pits of the hellfire that even Yazid and the people around him, the people of hell, will run away from the hypocrite that had knowledge that did not apply that knowledge. It is the worst to be the one who has knowledge and does not apply that knowledge. So knowledge has a weakness. You must apply it. You apply it through your actions. The easiest thing to do is to act, to get up and to move. That's why they always say, if you're feeling down or under the weather, exercise or go to the gym, because you cannot go into yourself and fix and mend your feelings, but you can get up physically and go and run or lift some weights or swim. You can physically do that no matter how you feel. And that will usually change the state of how you feel. So action is something that you must apply. People say, how can I work on my nafs? To work on your nafs, the beginning of working on your nafs, before you try to control your thoughts, you must control your actions. If you can't lower your eyes, then you can't control your thoughts. So you must begin with lowering your eyes. To lower your gaze, you can control that. That's your action. And that is like a muscle. You must practice and train that muscle to not look at what is forbidden for you and to act upon what is wajib of you. To constantly train and become disciplined with your salat times, with the fajr prayer, even with the higher levels of salatul layl. You know salatul layl? Our ulama, they say to us, of those urafa, those ulama, they say to us, like Sayyid Ali al-Qadhi, the teacher of Allama Tabatabai and Sheikh Bahjat, he says, I don't know of anyone that reached Allah without Salatul Layl. It hasn't been done. You understand? Yeah, we might be struggling to pray Fajr. That's okay, inshallah, we can from now on pray Fajr. But there are higher levels we must achieve. These ulama are saying that Salatul Layl is necessary. We might have heaven, fine, but there are stations of heaven. You know, there are narrations of people that Jibreel is taking them into Jannah, and on their way to Jannah, they see Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and then they say salam to him, they want to hug him, he says salam to them on the way to Jannah. And then Jibreel says, okay, now you must go Jannah. And they say, no, we want to stay here with Abu Abdullah. He says, no, this is not your station. We just pass by to say salam. Yalla, go Jannah. They have to leave Abu Abdullah. His station is a special station. If you want to be with Imam Hussein and Ahlul Bayt in a higher station, it's different. But go to Jannah, enjoy. Go to the gardens. There is no punishment. But there are levels that are higher. We said the other day, the true Shi'i is the one that when they come to ask him, after he's in Barzakh and he's going to Jannah, and they say, Imam Mahdi has returned, do you wish to go back and aid him, or would you like to go to Jannah? He says, no, take me back. I want to serve my Imam, I want to serve my master, he needs me. That's the real follower, the real lover. And if we haven't understood this, we haven't yet understood the secrets of what they want for us. They want us to become, this is how I understand it, become dignity. To become, not dignified, become dignity. You become dignity. Because you're not doing it for yourself anymore. You're not doing it for your own salvation anymore. You have actually melted in the Beloved. They have completely blinded you. You've fallen in love. When you love someone, like Layla or Majnun, Majnun doesn't care about anything anymore. Majnun used to go to the walls that Layla used to walk through and kiss the walls. And he would tell his people, I'm not kissing the walls because I love the walls. I kiss the walls because Layla walked next to them. The lover becomes this way. Anyone who experienced love in their life, in the beginning of their life, when they have their first love, and they can't imagine anything except that person that they love, that is real. It's a sign. It's a hujjah against you. As you grow up, you start to lose that feeling, but that feeling exists. It's a hujjah against you because it was meant for Allah and the people of Allah. That's what it was. It wasn't meant for your first love. It was a sign. It's a beautiful thing to experience it as a sign to show you that this exists. This feeling in your stomach, the butterflies and the thoughts, and you can't sleep and you're so happy. It exists. This is real. It's a sign. And you can always live this once you align it and align your compass in the correct direction. So we must apply knowledge. To apply knowledge, to move in the way Imam Ali alayhi salam is telling us to move with knowledge, it must be applied. But even there, when we apply this knowledge, there is another level. There are higher levels and higher levels. So we are applying, but sometimes this application done based on faith is just faithful. Sometimes we don't understand why. We're doing it because we have to. And that is good, but can be a weakness. Why do you pray Fajr 2 rikas? I don't know. Why is Maghrib 3 rikas? I don't know. Maybe Allah did 2 rikas because it's morning and He feels sorry for me, I'm very tired. But I don't know the actual reason. So then it's faithful. But the more and more those ideas increase when you don't know, you're just doing it, you don't know, then you are susceptible to being a sitting duck. And shaitan will come and attack you until you don't know anyway, and then you will fall again. So knowledge, pursuit of knowledge, sincerely with a clean heart, applying that knowledge, and then we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us knowledge, to give me knowledge, to expand me in knowledge, because the knowledge that I'm supposed to receive is different than the knowledge that the kafir receives. If the kafir reads, he gains this knowledge too. If the kafir applies his knowledge, he gains it too. So what's the difference between a kafir and a believer? The difference is, like I mentioned in the line within Ziyarat al-Jami'ah al-Kabira, بِوِلَايَتِكُمْ عَلَّانُ اللَّهُ مَعَالِمَ دِينِنَا. Through your wilaya, Allah taught us the ma'alim of the deen. Then there is something that is taught, not through books, and not through only applying the knowledge, but through tawfiq. This is futuhat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to the one who deserves it, the one who is fighting on the way. That's why Salatul Layl is one of the secrets to attaining this knowledge. You know that? Ulama, constantly they say, I was thinking of this problem, I couldn't understand, I prayed Salatul Layl, now I understand. One of my teachers, he told me not to come to class if I don't pray Salatul Layl. I missed that whole year. I'm trying, like you. I'm trying. We're not perfect, but you have to try. So try to pray tonight. Hella, it's Thursday night, the best night. Try to pray Salatul Layl one night a week. One night a week, one night a week, one night a week. Salatul Layl increases the knowledge, the real knowledge. The horizons will open and you will have futuhat. When you look at Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, and he's in the room with Zulaykha, beautiful Zulaykha, and she closes the doors, وَغَلَّقَتْ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ, and she said, come here. She wants to seduce him. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا, he would have fallen for her, لَوْلَا. Two underlines on the لَوْلَا. It means had he not. So he didn't fall for her. He would have fallen for her, لَوْلَا. He would have fallen for her had he not. وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا امْرَأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. Had he not seen the Burhan of his Lord, seen the truth, the reality, Allah showed him what was actually happening. So he saw, he didn't see beautiful Zulaykha the way another man may have seen. He saw sin. He saw disobedience. He saw someone who would not be grateful, because he said, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. He said, no, by Allah, I seek refuge in Allah. He is my Lord. He has honored me. You know what that means? You know what that means? Imagine a woman like Zulaykha is trying to seduce the Prophet, and he says to her, this is the response. Not, I don't want to, not, I won't fall for you. He said, Allah has honored me. The response is, Allah has honored me. Allah is my Lord. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. He's honored me. That means, I can't do that to Allah, to disobey. It's disloyal of me. He's loyal to Allah. We love loyalty. We think of Fadl Abbas alayhi salam as that loyal brother. So loyal. He is the epitome of loyalty. And we love him for that, because this quality is one of those rare qualities in a human being that everyone adores so much. True loyalty is the basis of family and brotherhood and marriage. Loyalty, he's saying, I am loyal to God. Through knowledge though. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. Allah gave him knowledge. He's loyal. Why are we not loyal to Allah? If we are backbiting someone, and that someone comes, we stop backbiting them. We're embarrassed in front of them. But Allah is present. We're not embarrassed. We still backbite when Allah is present. I am more shy in front of the guy I'm talking about than in front of Allah. And you're talking about him and you think very lowly of him and you're shy in front of him. But you're not shy in front of Allah. We must be loyal to Allah. Loyalty increases knowledge. This is a different understanding of knowledge. Loyalty to Allah increases knowledge. Worship of Allah increases knowledge. And sometimes, if you don't wake up for Salatul Layl, and you don't wake up for Fajr, and your mind isn't comprehending certain concepts, then I must now think, have I done something wrong? Listen, have I done something wrong so I didn't have tawfiq to wake up for Salatul Layl? Not, I did something wrong by not waking up for Salatul Layl. Or I did something wrong by not waking up for Fajr prayer. Have I done something wrong that Allah doesn't want to hear my voice? Have I done something wrong that Allah didn't give me tawfiq to wake up and pray? Or Allah didn't give me tawfiq to understand anymore? Or God forbid, didn't give me tawfiq to come to the majlis? Or, Ya Allah, like in Dua Abu Hamza al-Thamari, when we say, Ya Allah, did you find me in the gatherings of the people who are misguided? And then you turned away from me, you left me with them? Khalas, you want them, go. Or am I going to be the one to knock on your door and be persistent until you open for me? Loyalty increases knowledge. We want this type of knowledge. Then we come to understand the words of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam that we have been using as a theme these last few nights. We want to understand these words not merely as concepts, but I want you to understand them individually. So we're going to have a few hundred individual understandings, because each one of you has their own source of knowledge within Alim Huduri that I will never understand. And this is an infinite well inside you. You just have to tap into it. And you can only do that with tawfiq from Allah. And the best technique to use is Imam al-Hussein on these nights. Through crying for Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. That there is so much blessing in the tears of Imam al-Hussein you will receive knowledge. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله